Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, everyone. This episode of Luke's English Podcast is sponsored by iTalki, a service that you can use to organise conversations and English lessons with native speakers online through Skype. It's a great way to work on your spoken fluency in English from the comfort of your own home. And the cool thing is that because you're a Lepster, when you buy some talking time on iTalki, they will give you a voucher for a free lesson. So if you really want to fast track your English to fluency, you can do it by talking to people or getting lessons on iTalki. Just go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalki logo on my website. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, hello. Welcome to the podcast. This episode is all about some strange news stories that I found on theweek.co.uk. I've used these stories in class in the past because they're full of grammar and vocabulary, but also because they make quite good talking points. This time, I tried my odd news worksheet with my parents, and you can hear the results in this episode. There are 8 stories being discussed. First, there's a guessing game involving the possible headlines and what they could mean. And then we get into the stories, all of which are available on the page for this episode as transcripts. So you could check those out and pay attention to the vocabulary or the way the sentences are constructed, and just enjoy listening to my parents and me having a relaxed chat about these weird stories. And also there are various other little sort of anecdotes and stories too. We use the stories as jumping off points to talk about personal experiences and things. So there are some amusing little stories from my mum and dad in this episode too. And I must say that when I listened back to this recording, I laughed out loud a few times, mainly because of my parents' contributions. I think it's quite a funny episode. And I hope you enjoy listening to it. So let's get started right away. And here we go. Hello, folks. I'm joined at this point by my parents and the washing machine. I don't know if you can hear the washing machine in the background. I thought I would just bring that to your attention immediately. Just in case you hadn't heard it, let me just make sure that you do hear it so that you can then go, oh, it was annoying that there was a washing machine in the background. But you wouldn't want me to walk around in dirty clothes, would you, listeners? Of course not. Okay. Hello, Mum and Dad.
Hello, Luke.
Hello, Luke.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Absolutely fine, thank you.
Absolutely fine.
Yep.
Great. All right, then. What's going on? What's the situation?
Well, we're here in Paris for a few days visiting you and more specifically our little granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning we are just dossing around with you in your flat doing a podcast.
More importantly, the granddaughter.
Oh, yeah.
So that's it. She's more important now.
Well, of course she is.
Okay.
You don't think we'd come all this way just to see you.
All right, then. Weather report.
Weather report here in France is it was pouring with rain yesterday. This is traditional. Whenever we come to Paris, it rains. We mm-hmm. bring it with us. So there were high winds and rain yesterday, but now it's all calm. And there is blue sky, puffy clouds. And back home in the UK, the weather is still nice. It's been a really, really good summer, and it's still quite dry and still quite warm.
Okay, good. I have to do that, as you know, at the beginning of these episodes sometimes, just to kind of break the ice. Okay, then. So, this episode is all about odd news. Okay? Now, yep. What I've got in my hand is a worksheet that I've used in my classes at school with groups of adult students doing conversation classes. So, I've used this before because it provides some vocabulary and it also provides a basis for some conversation. And I thought I'd use the same material with you, more or less.
All right.
Okay.
Odd news stories, okay? from theweek.co.uk. Theweek.co.uk is a website that basically compiles the journalism of the week. So it's kind of what the newspapers have been saying about different topics. Mm-hmm. And they do the main stories, but also they have a section called Odd News. Odd?
Unusual, peculiar.
Strange.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Mm. Weird. Okay. Yeah. Unusual, peculiar, strange, bizarre, weird, or odd. Odd news. Strange.
There's another meaning of odd.
Yeah.
I mean, completely different meaning, which is that in numbers, there are even numbers and odd numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Even numbers are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. You can divide them by 2.
Yeah.
And odd numbers are 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. You can't divide them by 2.
Why do we call them odd numbers? Is it because is it because they're strange numbers? It's like, 3, 5, a bit weird.
A bit weird.
Because you can't divide
them
by 2.
I don't think 5 and 3 are a bit weird.
Except that you can't divide it by 2.
Is that weird?
It's like, you can't divide it by 2.
That's odd.
That's a bit weird, isn't it?
I doubt it.
I don't know why.
Probably a different reason.
I don't know why we call them odd and even numbers. But it's a good point, Dad. Odd and even numbers. And also odd meaning strange, bizarre, weird, unusual, and... so there was another word I can't remember. Anyway, odd news. So, you know, these little strange, funny, curious...
snippets.
Yeah, little stories. When you worked at the BBC, and Mum, you worked at the BBC as well for a while.
For a while, yeah.
Not as a journalist, but you...
Well, not as a journalist, but...
Mum made a face when I said that.
I was like, not as a journalist.
What did you do at the BBC?
I'm the secretary.
You were a secretary.
Yes.
What did that involve?
Being
all sorts of lots of things, organising everybody for a start.
Well, no, not really.
Typing skills.
Yes, typing the news from their correspondents all over the country who used to phone in and dictate the news stories over the phone.
But there was a while when you worked in the business of newsmaking.
Sort of, on the periphery.
Were you in the newsroom?
Yes.
Okay, so you saw the action in the newsroom.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Dad obviously was... He worked for the BBC for a longer period of time as a journalist.
Yeah.
Right? So, odd news then. I mean, did you ever cover any sort of strange, odd little stories when you were working as a journalist?
Yes, occasionally. In broadcasting, there isn't an awful lot of space in a news bulletin. It would, you know, the number of words in a television half-hour news is roughly the equivalent of one page of a newspaper.
Uh-huh.
So it has to be... very concise, and normally it sticks to the serious news. You know, it's a bulletin or program of news. It doesn't have time for any trivia.
Yeah.
But there is a bit of a tradition of ending up on something to give you a smile at the end of the news.
Right.
They call it the "and finally."
Mm-hmm.
"And finally," it says the newsreader. And then it's something a bit bizarre.
And finally, residents of Birmingham were treated to an interesting display when this balloon demonstration went wrong. Luckily,
sort of thing. I mean, and there are other trivial stories that have gone down in history. One of them was a skateboarding duck. Skateboarding duck. It was a really talented duck, you know, he could skateboard really well, and the pictures of the skateboarding duck were, you know, very popular.
How would you, if you were the newsreader, how would you do the "and finally, here's a skateboarding duck"? What would you say?
Well, I don't know. I think at the time skateboarding was a relatively, you know, trendy new thing, and you know, you'd start off by saying skateboarding is getting more and more popular, and it's even now favorite of the bird kingdom, and you know, here comes quackers, watch out. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it would be quite like that. No,
I can imagine like Alan Partridge covering that story and be like, I'm here at the local, you know, skate park. Okay, all right then. Now what I've got here is as I said, a little collection of odd news from the week. Now what we're going to do is start with the headlines. We know, don't we, that newspaper headlines have slightly different grammar than normal English. For example, present tenses are used for past events. So, for example, if it was a man fell out of a hot air balloon, it would be "man falls out of hot air balloon." Auxiliary verbs are often removed. So instead of it being "a man was rescued from a duck the duck sanctuary. Let's say, what? I don't know. Let's say even the man went to the duck zoo to check out the ducks and he fell into the duck.
And he was rescued from a duck attack.
He was rescued from a duck attack, exactly. Okay. A man was rescued from a duck attack. The headline becomes
man. Duck attack, man rescued.
Okay, or man rescued from duck attack. So that we remove the was, the auxiliary verb is removed. Passive forms become noun plus past participle, like man rescued, woman arrested, and so on. Reasons, consequences, and causes are given using after and over. So, for example, man arrested over duck incident. You know, that means that the man was arrested in, you know, in relation to the duck incident or because of a duck incident. Or man jailed after attempting sex with a duck, for example.
Well, yes, but another thing, of course, about newspaper headlines is that they really like short words, particularly monosyllables. So it wouldn't be arrested, it would be held. man held in duck shock.
Right. You
know, simple monosyllabic words.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I've talked about that before on the podcast, as my listeners might know. So anyway, we're going to start with the headlines, and what we're going to do is I'm going to read you some of the words. So I've chopped the headlines in half, because this is the sort of thing that English teachers do.
Right.
We don't just give you the headlines. We have to chop them in half first. You've got to match them up. You've got to talk to a partner and all that stuff. Okay. So, but this is a chance for us to deal with some of the vocab in the headlines. So I'll give you the first half of the headline. We may have to deal with some words, and then I'll give you multiple choice. You can guess how the headline finishes.
Okay.
The first one, Mum, is this. Man charged. Man charged. Charged?
That means that he was charged with some sort of offence.
Okay.
That he'd done something wrong and the police had found him and they charged him for, you know, I don't know, attacking someone or stealing a pen or something.
Is that the only meaning of charged? Man charged.
You could say man charged with sorting out this mess.
Meaning
he's been put in charge of something.
Okay. What about money?
Oh, yes, that's right. You could say man charged too much for his meal.
Man charged £2,000 for the hamburger. Yeah. Okay. So it's
man charged by bull.
Man charged by bull is another one, meaning a bull charged a man, meaning the bull ran at the man. Anyway, man charged, okay. Here are your options. Is it man charged after being served salad? Would make sense.
It could, but it's hardly news, is it?
Not really. It's a slow news day, isn't it? Like, what do we got? Well, a man bought a salad.
And they charged him for it.
Or is it man charged over stolen toes?
Stolen toes.
What could that be about?
It could be a sculptor that he'd broken the toes off the sculptor,
and then he stole the toes. And then he was caught.
And then
he was arrested
by the police and charged with toe theft.
Okay. Or is it man charged to tackle cheating?
Yeah, that's more like it. That's what I was saying about someone being put in charge of something. So if there was a school that had a lot of trouble with cheating in the exams, they would appoint a man who would be charged with the job of looking out for the cheating.
Okay. So some sort of like school inspector or something like that, maybe.
I hope they appointed him fairly.
Yes, you would hope so. Which one do you think it is? You think it's man charged to tackle cheating?
Give me the three again.
Man charged after being served salad.
Yeah.
Man charged over stolen toes,
yeah.
Or man charged to tackle cheating?
Well, if it's a trivial, odd story, I suppose it's man charged after stealing toes.
Is the correct answer.
Ah.
Yeah. We're going to come back to that.
Okay.
So listeners, you can keep in mind, man charged over stolen toes, a man stole some toes. We'll find out more probably in a few minutes. Okay. Next one, Dad, is this. Massive cannabis crop. What's a massive cannabis crop?
Crop. Well, it's the plants which you dry the leaves and turn into cannabis that people smoke. And
a crop
is a lot of it. You can have out in the fields. You can have a wheat crop or a, you know, a tomato crop or a potato crop. So it's a lot of cannabis plants, and it would probably have been in a greenhouse, or it might even have been somebody's house hidden in the attic. So what was the start of the headline?
Massive cannabis crop
found in attic.
So this is that someone's been growing some ganja in their attic, and
I'm guessing.
Okay, let's see. You've got two options for how the headline continues. So it's either massive cannabis crop found at UNESCO site, or it's massive cannabis crop gets free travel.
Well, I don't see how a massive cannabis crop could get free travel. So I'll go in with the UNESCO site headline.
You don't think maybe, someone is trying to transport a massive cannabis crop, and he goes through customs, and the customs officer says, "Do you have anything to declare?" And the guy goes, "Yeah, I've got a massive cannabis crop." And the customs officer goes, "Well, tell you what, if you just give me a little bit, then I'll let you go through free."
No.
All right. So it's massive cannabis crop found at UNESCO site.
Think so, yeah.
Okay, what's a UNESCO site?
United Nations. What does it stand for?
Organization. United Nations Environmental Society.
Cultural.
Yes.
Oh God. Okay. Hold on. Right, we have to explain. We can't let that one go without, you know, saying what UNESCO stands for.
Science, Education, Culture.
UNESCO.
Nations.
Well, we know what it is and what they do, but yeah, we're just trying to work out what UNESCO actually stands for.
Either historical or cultural.
Luke is busy looking this up.
What does UNESCO stand for? It stands for United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization.
We were pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah.
So UNESCO has certain sites around the world that they kind of protect, basically, because they are of great cultural significance. So cannabis crop found at UNESCO site. Well, it's pretty clear, I suppose, isn't it?
Hmm.
Okay, then. So maybe some tourists were...
It was culturally significant cannabis.
Yep. All right, so the next headline, Mum, is this. Number three, baby born on train, which is pretty obvious, isn't it? A baby was born on a train.
Yeah.
So your options are baby born on train after being served salad. Okay.
Yeah.
Baby born on... that one's going to come up a lot after being served salad.
Okay.
Baby born on train after being shot in the face with a hot dog.
Oh.
Unlikely.
Not possible.
How would that happen? I don't know. Baby born on train found at UNESCO site.
Okay.
So the baby was born on the train
In amongst all the cannabis.
So what happened to that baby that was born on the train? I don't know. We lost it. Here it is. It's at the UNESCO site.
This is very plausible.
Give me another one.
Baby born on train gets free travel.
Okay.
And baby born on train to tackle cheating.
Oh, well, I think that's fairly obvious. Baby born on train to get free travel.
Yes.
So they must have said, oh, this was unusual. The mother went into labour on the train and the baby was born, and there was much excitement ensued and much chaos. And at the end of it all, the people who owned the train line said, I tell you what, for good publicity, we'll say that baby can have free travel for the rest of its life.
Okay, that sounds pretty plausible.
Could have been simpler than that. It could have been that when the train arrived, the ticket inspector said, where's the ticket for the baby then? And I said, I haven't got one.
Why not? Oh, well, he didn't
exist. Well, because it didn't exist when we got on the train.
It didn't exist at the beginning of the journey.
And he said, all right then.
All right, you can go. Come on, move along. Okay, well, we'll see. Next one is this, Dad. Woman injured. I think we know what injured means.
Flying pancake.
Woman injured by flying pancake? Could be. Maybe it hit her in the eyes and blinded her. My eyes!
Could have been a sausage.
Okay,
could have been a hot dog.
Here we go. Woman injured after being served salad. Some of those salads.
Those are very dangerous.
Yeah, quite dangerous.
That celery can be pretty sharp.
Broke my jaw on a piece of lettuce. Woman injured after being shot in the face with a hot dog.
Yeah, I think that's almost certainly.
No, wait till you hear the others.
Woman injured to tackle cheating. Like, you're a cheat. We're going to set an example and break your legs. Look, you see, don't cheat or we'll break your legs like we did to that woman.
No.
I don't know what kind of school that would be.
No.
That would be my kind of school. That's how I tackle cheating in my school. Like, don't brutal. Cheat or I'll break your legs. The Mafia School of English.
He's brutal.
Jay. No, that's it. So, woman injured after being served salad, after being shot in the face, or in order to tackle cheating. Which one is it, Dan?
Well, I thought right from the beginning that it was going to be, you know, injured by a hot dog, because that's the obvious thing, isn't it?
Okay, so woman injured after being shot in the face with a hot dog.
How do you shoot a hot dog?
Isn't that what happens all the time? If you get shot in the face, you get injured by the hot dog. Hot dog injury, horrible.
Yeah, how do you shoot a hot dog?
Yeah.
With a hot dog gun.
Indeed.
Oh, right.
We'll find out more in a minute.
I'll tell you how you shoot someone in the face with a hot dog.
How?
You shoot someone in the face with a hot dog.
You just shoot them in the face with a hot dog, yeah. Who's next, Mum? This is Algeria turns off the internet.
They
just switched off the
internet. So they don't allow their people, their inhabitants, to use the internet.
Just switched off.
That does happen. I mean, they're not allowed the internet in various places.
Yep. Anyway, I don't know. I'm not an expert on Algeria, but
okay.
As the story says,
yeah.
Algeria turns off the internet, and your options are: Algeria turns off the internet after being served salad. Okay, it's getting a bit repetitive,
isn't it? It is, yeah.
Okay, or Algeria turns off the internet to tackle cheating, or Algeria turns off the internet with her bare hands.
Well, with her bare hands doesn't make sense, because Algeria isn't a person. And so I think it's got to be to tackle cheating. The people in Algeria must think that the school children in their country use it too much when they're taking their exams.
So
and looking up the answers.
Just switch off the internet.
Yes.
Which is what you would do with your children, right? I mean, yeah. Sometimes they're like, you've got to do your homework. I'm switching off the internet. No, I'm switching it off. Yeah.
I've warned you enough times. You knew what would happen. And I'm now turning off the internet.
I wonder how it works, though. Does the Algerian parliament have a huge red switch on the wall marked internet? Mm-hmm. And somebody says, right, I'm switching it off, and they kind of go click.
Or the government goes, right, you know, we forward the motion to switch off the internet. All those in favour, you know, say aye, and everyone goes aye. All those in favour go no, and, you know,
nobody goes
does.
No.
He's like, okay, switch off the internet.
And someone in a black uniform whose job it is to switch the internet on and off goes and switches it.
He's got a black uniform and white gloves.
Yep.
And it's the ceremony of the officials.
It would be somewhat overkill, though, wouldn't it? Because all the people who weren't cheating and for using the internet for law-abiding reasons wouldn't be able to use it.
Just think of all the companies that rely on it.
Yeah.
They'd say, oh, it's been switched off again. So
just because some school
lunch.
Children are cheating, you'd think they could tackle it in another way, wouldn't
Seems
you?
Seems a little bit harsh as a measure. Anyway, we'll find out a little bit more in a moment. Mum.
Yes.
Child calls police.
Right.
Okay, it's clear, isn't it?
Well, a child has obviously phoned up the police for some reason.
Okay. Child called police after being served salad.
No.
Child calls police after being shot in the face with a hot dog.
Well, we've had that one. Can we have it more than once?
Maybe. No.
Okay.
Don't think about the system too much.
Okay.
Child calls police over stolen toes.
Right.
And child calls police to tackle cheating. Uh-huh. Like some of my schoolmates are cheating. Can you arrest them?
And I'm snitching on them.
And child calls police with her bare hands. So she didn't use gloves or anything else.
She didn't use her voice. She used her bare hands to call the police.
Mm.
Give me them again.
Child calls police
after eating a salad.
After being served salad, after being shot in the face with a hot dog, but we've already had that one. Over stolen toes or with her bare hands.
Well, it's got to be over stolen toes again.
Okay, we will see.
What do you think, Rick?
Yeah, I think it's a child has maybe put their socks on and suddenly realised their toes had disappeared and called the police, said somebody's taken my toes.
Yeah, or the child found some toes and called the police and said, I've found the stolen toes.
I think that's unlikely.
Okay. You know when that man was charged with stealing toes? Well, I found them.
Yeah, this might be the crucial evidence that can make or break this case. We'll see, as I said, in a moment. Number eight? No. Man killed, right?
Mm-hmm.
After being served salad, after being shot in the face with a hot dog. Man killed by his mother's coffin.
Oh.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Is that all of them?
No. Man killed over stolen toes. The stolen toes story continues. Or man killed to tackle cheating.
I know which one it is.
What do you think, Mum?
I think it's by his mother's coffin.
What, like next to his mother's coffin or his mother's coffin?
No. His mother's coffin killed him because he was carrying... He was one of the... not stretcher bearers. What are they called?
Pall bearers.
Carrying his mother's coffin into church. He was going up some steps and he tripped and fell forward. And the coffin was slid forward on top of him. And his mother was so heavy, she was a big fat woman, and they got such a good quality coffin with very, very heavy wood. Mm-hmm. It landed on top of him and killed him.
Crushed him.
Mother's revenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I mean, it could be the toe story again. I'm thinking mafia here.
Man killed over stolen toes.
Yeah, well, you know, that there was a punishment going on in the mafia. Cut your toes off. And then, you don't cut my brother's toes off. And so, you know, it was a revenge shooting.
Or it could be, you know, like there was like a toe stealing job. Like some mafia guys got together and they organised a raid on the British Museum to steal some toes from a statue or something.
Well, the whole ransom. We can ransom Statue of David's toes for a lot of mount.
Or that, yeah, the toes were stolen, and then later someone told the police, someone grassed them up to the police, and the mafia guys need to take revenge on the
There's an option. It's a mafia story, or it's a nasty accident at a funeral.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to think of a sort of Robert De Niro situation with the stolen toes. It'd be something like, I told you, don't screw with my toes. You leave my toes alone. Yeah, okay. Next, this is the last one. Woman kills rabid... Is it rabid or
rabid?
Rabid.
Mm. Rabid.
Some people say rabid.
Well, they're wrong.
It comes from rabies, doesn't it?
Yeah, but that, you know, that's no precedent because the noun is pronounced one way. The adjective has to be pronounced the same
rabid.
Way.
It's rabid.
Okay, anyway, I think some people... You will hear, listeners, some people say rabid and some people
but
say...
they're wrong.
Some people say rabid, and this is the kind of thing that people have strong opinions about. According to my parents, it's only rabid, and the people who say rabid should be ignored.
Rabid.
People who say rabid are rabid.
What does it mean, rabid?
It means that they've got a form of... Well, it's like they're mad. If they're bitten by a rabid dog... The rabies is transmitted from the dog to the human, and it turns the human... Well, I don't know. I don't think they are mad. I think it's a horrible disease.
So rabies is a disease?
It is.
And it's a disease that's spread by animals?
Yes,
and
yes.
For example, dogs can have
mainly
rabies.
Mainly dogs, but it can be bats and it can be other animals,
foxes.
I think.
And it's a disease which... I don't know how it works, but one of the symptoms is that it causes really... strange behavior and with dogs it can make them very aggressive and they bite people and then those people get infected by rabies. It's like the closest thing we've got to zombies.
Is it?
I'd say so.
Okay.
The closest thing we have to that.
There's a famous rabid dog in To Kill a Mockingbird.
To Kill a Mockingbird, yeah.
Kill a Mockingbird, yeah. The book by Harper Lee.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a rabid
and
dog
Atticus
in that.
Atticus shoots it.
Coolly just gets his rifle and shoots it.
Okay. We don't have rabies in the UK.
No, we don't,
we
amazingly.
There are measures in place to try and make sure it doesn't reach
it's
the islands.
It's never reached. And mind you, we could have it in the bat population, couldn't we, and not know about it?
Anyway, woman kills rabid bobcat. What's a bobcat, Dad?
Kind of wild cat. American, North American wildcat.
Quite a big cat.
Quite big, yeah.
Woman kills rabid bobcat. You know, I've got the usual after being done, after whatever.
After being served salad.
Yeah, like, nice salad. I think I'll kill a rabid bobcat. Would you like some coffee? No, thanks. Do you have any rabid bobcats? we do, as a matter of fact.
What's this in my salad? It's a rabid bobcat.
Or is it woman kills rabid bobcat with her bare hands?
Ah.
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 It's probably that one, isn't
it? That's more likely, isn't it?
Okay. How do you imagine that story going?
Well, she hadn't got her oven gloves around her at the time.
Well, no, it's because the rabid bobcat was going for her children, and we all know what mothers are like when their children are being attacked. And so she just threw caution to the wind. She didn't have a weapon, so she attacked it with her hands. She strangled it with her bare hands because she was so enraged by the fact it was going for her children.
Okay. So she just strangled it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's
Maybe
see.
She gave it a karate chop.
Hiya!
Yeah.
Like that. Okay. All right, then. So, here are the stories.
Okay.
So, I'm going to read the stories, and I'll ask you some questions to just have some conversation on the subject. Story number one is this. Man charged over stolen toes.
Yay! Oh, no.
A New Zealand man has been charged with stealing two human toes from an exhibition displaying human corpses and organs.
Oh, my God.
So, some kind of exhibition where they displayed human bodies and
organs.
Well,
there's that guy.
Sounds horrible.
He's a German guy, isn't he, who does he does work with human bodies.
There is a guy who famously toured around the world with his exhibition of human bodies preserved.
You could
see all of the human bodies and their organs.
Yeah, that's
like
it.
He removed the skin and you could see the muscles and the capillaries and the veins and nerves and things like that.
It must have been that.
Yeah,
it must German guy.
Yeah, yes. I don't know. I can't remember
his name. But he
was he called Hans?
But he used to wear
it may not have been called Hans, but he probably had some hands on display.
Right.
So, anyway, a New Zealand man has been charged with stealing two human toes from an exhibition displaying human corpses and organs. He's reportedly returned the toes, which are valued at £2,900 each.
No.
But also faces charges of improperly interfering with the dead body of an unknown person.
Mm.
So apparently the crime is not just the theft, but also the fact that he improperly interfered with the dead body of an unknown person.
Mm.
What a bizarre crime.
Very.
Okay, so you get the story. You understand what happened.
Yeah.
So my questions for discussion are simply this. Which organ in the human body do you expect is the most valuable? And why do you say that?
You mean on the open market? If you go to an auction site, you know, I'd like to buy a brain. Which one's going to be most expensive?
Yeah, which organ in the human body do you imagine is the most valuable or the most expensive?
I would think that it's the heart for heart transplants, because they don't come up very often.
Well, they're not often available.
Yeah.
Limited stock.
Yes, but I don't understand the question really, because they're never sold; they're always donated.
Well, if okay, which organ would be the most expensive?
Mm. On the black market you're now talking about.
Okay, if you like.
I would say a heart. I mean, you can transplant kidneys and livers and hearts. Don't think you can transplant a brain, can you?
Not yet.
So I would say heart.
Okay, I don't have the answer.
Oh. I have no idea.
It's pure speculation. I'm sorry, listeners. This is not one of those things where it's like, well, the actual truth story, true answer is this. It's just opinion.
Okay.
And
well, if a toe is worth $2,900, surely a heart would be worth more than that.
Okay, you'd have thought so. I'd say it's probably the heart or the brain. Probably the heart, because it can be transplanted and there aren't that many of them around available. So let's say the heart. Listeners who are doctors and listeners who trade in organs,
body parts
on the black market, you can confirm or deny these things in the comments section. As long as keep your ID secret, of course, unless you want the police to charge you over some stolen toes or whatever. Anyway. Other questions then. What are these organs? Where are they and what do they do?
Righto.
Okay. Now remember, we're talking to learners of English, so we need to clarify it. The liver. What is it? Where is it? What does it do?
The liver is in your abdomen behind your rib cage. How do I describe it? On your right hand side. If you rub your abdomen just below your ribs, it'll be in that sort of area.
Okay. We're not doctors, listeners, okay? Yeah.
Well, that's where I think it
is.
Okay. And it cleans your blood.
It deals with blood, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It cleans it and produces blood. Okay. Very important.
Mm.
All right. Kidneys, Dad?
Not far away.
Mm-hmm.
Near the liver?
No.
Well,
whereabouts are they? Come on.
Well, I think they're part of your digestion system.
Yes, but where are they?
They're lower down.
They're on either side.
You feel towards your back, yeah. and they are on either side of your spine. Either side of your spine, quite low down.
Okay.
Yes, below your waist. Below on either side.
Below your waist, really.
If you find your waist, round about your waist, I suppose, okay. towards the back.
Yeah. Okay.
In boxing. And I'm not a big fan of boxing. There are different punches are described. You know, straight left, uppercut, and there's a kidney punch. That's when they're in a clinch, and you see the boxers hitting each other in that area.
I quite like to see doctors fighting.
Yes.
And what do they do?
The doctors.
The kidneys.
The kidneys. What do they do? Yeah.
I don't know really.
They filter your. It's what your urine goes through.
They sort of produce urine, don't they?
They're taking out the nutrients, or the impurities.
Your digestive system separates the waste product from the stuff that's useful, and the kidneys do that, don't they?
Yeah, the urine goes through the kidneys, and everything else goes through the bowel.
Okay,
I think.
All right then, lungs. We know where they are.
Yeah.
We know what they do. Bladder.
Bladder is how do you describe it?
I would say it's a bag of urine in your body.
Yeah.
Basically, your bladder is, let's say, that before the urine comes out of you.
It goes through the kidneys into the bladder, which is low down in your abdomen.
It's like a bag that holds all of your pee.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well done.
Easy.
You ought to be a medic.
There are others. Pancreas.
Ooh, tricky.
Pancreas is near the liver. And I think it's the pancreas that takes out the bile, whatever the bile is. Or is that the bile?
Bile is one of the fluids that goes through our body. We've got blood. We have...
I don't know what pancreas does, it works in tandem. I know it's dangerous that you can get pancreatic cancer, which is bad news.
Yeah,
I don't really know what it does.
It works in tandem with the liver. It's very close to the liver, but I'm not entirely sure what it does.
Shall I Google it?
And then there's the spleen.
Yes,
that's another tricky one.
Yeah,
and that's also close by the pancreas and the liver, I think.
Okay. I'm just Googling the pancreas.
We're not very informative, are we?
No, we're not. No.
But, you know, the idea for this, listeners, you know, you're listening to this to just listen to, you know, people chatting.
People showing their ignorance.
It's not the doctor's podcast. It's just chatting in English podcast. The pancreas is a glandular organ in the digestive system and endocrine system. What does it do? It's an endocrine gland producing several important hormones which circulate in the blood. It's also a digestive organ secreting pancreatic juice, which helps to neutralize acidity moving in from the stomach. So basically it just helps with digestion and stuff like that.
Jolly good.
Okay, let's move on. So that was the man charged over stolen toes.
Mm-hmm.
Next one is the massive cannabis crop, and it was found at a UNESCO site.
Right.
The story goes like this. Police in Turkey have revealed that a UNESCO World Heritage site in the country's southeast has been used to grow cannabis. More than 200 police were called to the Diyarbakir Fortress to dispose of hundreds of plants, some of which had grown more than 3 meters tall.
Cool.
Well, well, well. So, quick question then. Do you think cannabis will ever become legal in Britain?
Possibly. I don't think it's impossible.
I think yes, eventually.
In what capacity?
Could be just for medical use. It could become legal for personal use as it is in California.
Thing is though, there's different types of legal for medical use. Because there's legal for medical use by doctors in the medical industry or whatever. Yeah. In medical situations, they could maybe prescribe
it. Well, the oil is legal now.
Is it?
Which it doesn't have any kind of effect.
Hallucinogenic.
Psychoactive
effect. It doesn't make you high like any other kind of, like the rest of the plant.
Right.
It's the oil that's been secreted or removed from the plant.
They've somehow managed to get the stuff that has health benefits.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But for example, in California, now it's just legal for people to just buy it and smoke it for whatever reason. Previously, the law was that you could buy it for personal use, but you needed a medical card.
Oh, right.
But it was kind of like a legal loophole, and that people were just going to these doctors who were basically, you know, you'd go in and say, I've got a bit of a bad back. Is anything you can do? And the doctor's like, how about a marijuana card? And you go, oh, it's funny you should ask that. Yeah. That's nice. And then you take your card, which you've basically bought, and then you have to go and use
it. Dr. Robert.
Yeah, Dr. Roberts, yeah, like the Beatles song. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
What about for just personal use then in the UK? Do you think it would be a good idea?
Eventually it may well be. It's not going to be immediately because the politicians are, you know, afraid of the conservative nature of the, you know, a lot of people in the population who think drugs is drugs and drugs is bad, and there you go. And I think that's the overwhelming view at the moment. But it around the world, it's slowly changing. And I think that, you know, probably one day it'll go the way of California.
Mm.
It's a big debate. We don't have time to go into it now.
No.
Dad, you just said drugs is drugs.
I know, that was just a kind of a tabloid newspaper expression, you know.
Colloquialism.
I know it's drugs are drugs. It's a kind of just a colloquialism.
Colloquialism. Okay, fine. Next story is baby born on train gets free travel. The story goes like this. A French baby born on a train has been given 25 years worth of free train travel. His birth on the RERA line in Paris disrupted commuters for more than an hour yesterday. Are you familiar with the RER network of trains in Paris?
Not really, no. I think it's network. Isn't it like a kind of a bridge between the metro and the main train.
Yeah, basically, in Paris, you've got the metro, and they take you around Paris, and the RER takes you from Paris to the suburbs or places just outside Paris, okay? Mm. And the reputation of the RER in Paris, what people tend to say about it is that it's awful and that it's really crowded and it's a bit smelly and it gets delayed. And, you know, if you have a conversation with someone and they talk about taking the RER, often it's like, oh, God, which one was it? RERA, oh, God, that's the worst.
Yeah.
So it's not a very popular system, although it's very, very commonly used. And, you know, it gets you from A to B.
So it's a commuter line.
A commuter line, yeah.
Line, basically.
Some of the suburbs around Paris are quite rough, and it must be, you know, tough to live in those areas. So it's a bit weird, you know. Anyway, RERA was disrupted for an hour. I'm sure all the Parisians were delighted.
Yes, I can imagine
about that. So have you?
What they called him?
Yes.
I wonder what they called him.
RER.
RER.
Archie.
Ari Archie. what are the trains like in England?
Huh.
How often do you take trains?
Quite often. And they're getting worse and worse. Some lines aren't too bad. Luckily, the one that serves us from Warwick to London is pretty good, although it's often far too crowded. But some train lines are just awful in England. They're terribly crowded. They don't run on time. They're very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big talking point at home these days.
Yes, it's a big controversy.
Any personal experiences lately?
No. Well, the worst one was going back from Paris in the summer in August. We got the train from our train line, which, as I say, is normally very good. For some reason, the train we caught only had two carriages or something, and they were completely packed. In fact, there were people who couldn't get on the train because there wasn't enough room. And we had to stand the whole way in this packed train in the heat, and I was not happy.
No air conditioning?
Well, there was, but it was not very good.
English air conditioning?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't know how to do air conditioning.
Not very well, no.
But the carriage had just too many people in it.
Yeah,
it's about capacity. The problem with railways in the UK, I mean, they're quite clean, but they're quite often late, and they're trying to upgrade the tracks, and this causes disruption. But the impact is that they haven't got enough capacity. So some people say, well, there's, you know, victim of their own success. There's more people using trains now than ever before, which is true. It doesn't alter the fact that the trains are incredibly crowded, particularly the commuter trains going into London. And it's becoming quite shocking, really, that they can't increase the capacity with, you know, bigger trains and more trains.
And more drivers. There seem to be short of drivers as well.
So the controversy is quite an interesting one, in that whether the state should run the railways, which is what the left-wing opposition Labour Party want to do, go back to what used to be the case, or whether these privatised rail companies are the answer to improving things. And a lot of people think that the privatised train companies have failed, so maybe something else should happen.
Certainly the tickets are incredibly expensive sometimes.
Oh, compared with the railways in France, it's just awful.
Yeah, French railways are very good.
Yeah, the long distance.
The long distance, the TGV.
On balance, they're really, really good, and they're not too expensive.
No.
They're affordable. I mean, it's all run by the I guess, sort of, in some way, by the state.
Well, it'll be
national, like, maybe semi-private, public, sort of a combination.
I think it's a bit subsidised by the state.
Subsidised by the state. But anyway, the state is sort of in charge of ensuring that the train system is good for commuters first and foremost, I suppose. I know it must be complicated trying to make a train system profitable for the company running it, while also making sure that the customers and commuters are prioritised.
I don't see how it can work. It certainly doesn't work at home, because the important thing is making sure that the shareholders get a profit every year. Well, that can't possibly be the right way to do it.
Yeah, it's complicated though, isn't it? Because you want the train companies to make a profit so that the economy is successful, because you don't want them to run at a loss, or, you know, you don't really. You don't want companies to be unsuccessful.
I don't know. I see transport as being, you know, like a social service almost. Everybody needs it, and the government should be prepared to make sure that its population has a reasonable transport,
As a society, we have an obligation to make sure that the society runs in certain basic ways. And transport is a basic right. And so the government should, you know, step in and say, you have to make sure that the trains are never overcrowded like this, that they're affordable for most people to buy and things like that. Yeah.
There's also other reasons why there should be a really good rail network. One is business, that you can't have a healthy economy if you don't have a really good rail sector, and that includes freight as well as people.
So they can move, people can move around, and goods and things can be transported around easily.
But the other one is there's another political thing about the unity of the nation, that in our country, for example, if people in Scotland think that they're isolated from London because they don't have a rotten rail service, then it can lead to separatism. So, I mean, it's important politically to have a good network of communication across the country.
So it's easy for people in Manchester to go to London and London to Manchester, and it kind of brings the two places closer together, for example. Okay, let's move on to the next one. And this is woman injured after being shot in the face with a hot dog. Okay, so here we go. This is from America.
You want to explain that everyone knows what a hot dog is, I take it.
Yes.
It's not a dog that's hot.
No. It's a sausage in a piece of bread.
Right. In a roll.
So how do you get shot with a hot dog?
Well, you have to be in America, obviously. Oh, yeah. So it goes like this. A Philadelphia Phillies fan. Philadelphia Phillies are they baseball
team?
I think they're baseball. Philadelphia Phillies fan has reportedly been injured after the team's mascot shot her in the face with a hot dog cannon. The woman was left with minor bruising under one eye and has been offered free tickets to the next Phillies game as compensation so that she can be hit in the face with another hot dog.
But it doesn't say what a hot dog cannon is.
So I can explain, I think, because in America, they have, at these sporting events, they like to do crazy things to get the crowd involved and to create the right atmosphere. And the mascots are these people who dress in outfits. So the Philadelphia Philadelphia Phillies, I don't know what their mascot is. It's probably like a bear or something. I don't know. And the mascots go around and they kind of entertain the crowd. And one of the things they do these days is they have these big guns that shoot things into the crowd.
Like toy guns.
Like T-shirts. They shoot shoot T-shirts into the crowd. And it's like a pack. The T-shirt is stuffed into a little pack and then loaded into the gun, and thunk, you can fire the T-shirt out into the crowd, and the people in the crowd grab the T-shirts. And apparently, I suppose, you can also wrap up a hot dog in some tin foil or something and fire the hot dog into the crowd.
Oh, dear.
But presumably, this mascot shot a woman in the face with this hot dog gun. And she got a big bruise under her eye.
I should think it's...
Minor bruising?
Minor bruising.
Thank you.
No, yeah.
Is it a news story?
No.
No.
But it's quite funny, though, isn't it? Hey, look, a woman got shot in the face with a hot dog.
Would you believe it?
So, my questions are, have you ever had a food-related accident? Like, for example, have you ever dropped food on something or on yourself? Have you ever spilled food on yourself, embarrassingly? Have you ever choked on food or maybe got food stuck somewhere?
I'm always choking on my food.
Mm-hmm.
Have we had a food-related incident? I can't think of one. Can you?
Didn't Luke's brother have something choking him at some point?
Haven't you had a fish bone stuck in your throat?
Yes, I have.
Oh, that's right.
I did.
When you were away. Where were you?
I was away.
Tell us about it, Dad. Tell us.
Regional television conference, and it was a fish bone, and I felt it in my throat, and it wouldn't go. And we're gonna, in the end, I was hauled off by the people there who could speak the language. Where was I?
I can't remember.
And
Poland,
yeah, I think it was. And the Polish contingent managed to find a doctor who would get his tweezers out and go down into my throat and pull this fish bone out of my throat.
You were eating fish at the time, I suppose.
I was eating fish, yes.
You weren't just doing something else. And,
no.
Oh, a fish bone.
Silly. No, and it was really very uncomfortable because, you know, you could feel it, but it also made you want to kind of, ugh, like that.
Sorry?
Go, ugh.
made you want to retch
a bit, yes. So yes, I had that. That was an interesting
Were you worried for your life?
No, I wasn't. It was just awkward.
Okay.
And it was felt nasty.
I was hoping for
anyway, once he'd pulled it out with his tweezers, I was off to rejoin the party. No problem.
Okay. Did you carry on eating the fish?
I did not.
For obvious reasons.
Once bitten, twice shy, once hit with the fish bone, avoid the fish.
Yeah. Okay. All right, then, that'll do. Next one is this. Algeria turns off the internet to tackle cheating.
Mm.
Okay, so yeah. Officials in Algeria, officials, that would be official people.
Mm-hmm.
Officials in Algeria have cut off the country's internet access in a bid to stop cheating during high school examinations, in an attempt to stop cheating during high school examinations. The Algerian government will maintain the internet blackouts. They'll keep doing this for the next 6 days, following widespread cheating during the 2016 high school diploma exams.
That seems to me to be a, what is it, to crack a nut?
It's using a sledgehammer to crack a nut. Or over the top.
Completely
reaction.
Over the top. Surely it would be better to try and stop them cheating rather than turn off the internet.
Like,
means everyone else is
maybe
suffering.
No mobile phones or computers in the exam room.
Exactly.
Instead, it's like, no, just turn the internet off.
That's, you know, incredible. I find that hard to believe.
If you can't use the internet properly, no one can use the internet.
Yes.
It seems a bit extreme, doesn't it?
It does.
But we don't know the context in Algeria.
No, we don't.
Maybe it's impossible to enforce these measures in the classroom. We don't know. I mean, God knows. Maybe their classrooms are so chaotic that they can't even police the door.
No, come on. There must be another reason.
Well, we don't know. But anyway, quick question.
Maybe they don't all sit in the same room and they have exams.
Maybe they do their
done
exams
in their own
on,
time.
Maybe they do their exams on computer.
Maybe they do it in their own time. Oh, that's a thought. Yes, they might have computers
computer-based
operating.
Exams. Mm. And all the kids are just sort of quick going on Google.
Yes.
And the teacher doesn't realize. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How much time do you spend online every day?
Oh, gosh, quite a lot. Let me see, probably 3 hours, would you say?
Yes.
If not more.
More.
Could you survive without...
I could.
Without the internet?
I could, but I'd find it really, really hard now.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing how it's taken over. Because we're just used to going online for every single thing, aren't we?
Well, yes. I mean, certainly, you know, emailing as well as finding out what's going on.
Mm.
You do rely on it a lot. Would I survive? I think I might. I might just survive as opposed to just roll over with my legs in the air and go, ah, and expire. But,
yes, of course we could survive.
And, just we're old enough to remember an age when it doesn't exist. Yeah, you know? We did actually survive.
That was my next question, which was, what was I going to say? Yeah, so you've lived with the internet, you've lived without it.
Yeah.
Is life better with or without?
It's much more interesting with. I love the internet.
Uh-huh.
I think it's fascinating. Find out all sorts of things.
You can, can't you?
Yeah.
Like, what's the pancreas? What does it do?
Instantly,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we pause?
Okay.
I think we should pause because I'm quite hungry.
Yes, so am I.
But we've got a few stories. No, we shouldn't pause now. Let's
crack on and finish. We've been doing this for long enough. Yeah.
I know, but I can turn it into two episodes. That's fine.
Okay.
Okay, we'll crack on.
Yeah, don't forget your other appointment.
I won't forget my other appointment. Child calls police after being served salad.
Oh.
So the child, here's what happened, okay?
Yeah.
A 12-year-old Canadian child has been cautioned by police after twice calling 911 to complain that he'd been served a salad during a meal. Police say the boy called to report the unwanted dish, then shortly afterwards called again to ask how long it would be before officers arrived to deal with the issue.
Well, that child needs a good talking to.
Yeah.
12?
12-year-old.
Grown up.
So here's the situation. Little Jimmy is sitting with his family or whatever at the restaurant, and he gets a salad, and little Jimmy goes, I don't want a salad. And then the parents are like, well, you've got to eat the salad. I don't want a salad. And then he calls the police.
My parents are making me eat a salad.
It's child abuse. And maybe, you know, he's never eaten a salad in his life before. He's an American kid. And maybe he thinks it's poisonous.
Canadian.
Oh, Canadian's close enough. So so maybe he thinks it's poisonous.
I don't want a salad. It's green. It tastes healthy. and then the police were like, you know, little Jimmy, we've told you once. I can't do a Canadian accent.
No.
The American and Canadian listeners to your podcast will be hating us by now because we're perpetuating stereotypes. But we're only doing it in jest, ladies and gentlemen.
We're just making fun. so presumably the police were like, I'm sorry, this is ridiculous. You know, thanks for your call, but I'm afraid... You know,
I wonder if it's got one of those police code numbers they use. You know, when they're called out, they say to base, I'm responding to a 9228.
A 211 at the restaurant.
Yes.
Another kid doesn't want to eat a salad?
That's right. It's probably got its own number.
Okay. Now, next one is man killed by his mother's coffin.
Mm.
And that's coffin, not coughing.
Yeah.
Coffin.
I bet my scenario was closer.
An Indonesian man has died after his mother's coffin fell on him.
Yes.
During her funeral. It's a sad story.
Oh.
Dozens of other men were injured. Dozens.
What?
Of other men.
This was one hell of a big coffin.
Dozens? That a dozen is 12. So dozens, it's like 24
30,
or more
40.
Men. Dozens of other
was
men?
This coffin being suspended from the ceiling or
well,
something?
Well, anyway, lots of... Well, Indonesia can get very crowded, you know, so maybe a lot of people squeezed into a small space and a big coffin.
Maybe it was on wheels and it ran away.
Maybe. Yes. It ran down a hill. Dozens of other men were injured while trying to carry the coffin up a makeshift ladder.
Ah.
They were trying to carry the coffin up a ladder to a traditional house in which dead bodies are stored during the Toraja traditional funeral ceremony.
Oh, right.
So they were trying to lift the coffin up a ladder into a traditional house.
Well,
and I suppose the coffin fell, killing the...
Squashing
the son and injuring lots of other people. Tragic and ironic death.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, ladders are very dangerous things.
Yeah, they are.
You only have to fall a few rungs of a ladder to really injure yourself.
Yeah. Especially if you're dead already.
Exactly.
Okay, let's move on to the third and final story,
mm-hmm.
which is this. Woman kills rabid. Oh, God. Don't disown me. Woman kills rabid bobcat with her bare hands.
Mm.
A 46-year-old Georgia woman, a woman from Georgia.
That's Georgia, United States.
I'm assuming it's the United States.
Yeah.
A 46-year-old Georgia woman has reportedly killed a rabid bobcat after the animal attacked her in her driveway.
Gosh.
D.D. Phillips, sorry, it is America.
It is America.
Told local reporters that her first thought when the animal attacked was, "I am not dying today." She saved herself by strangling the animal. You were right.
I was right about the strangling.
Brilliant.
She throttled it.
Yes.
Imagine that.
Bobcat's got big sharp claws. Yeah. She managed that.
Pretty big
You've
cat.
Got to be pretty determined, haven't you, to strangle a bobcat.
I mean, have you ever seen video of someone, of like a house cat, when they go crazy?
I don't need to see a video. Our cat used to attack me.
Mm.
And it was really horrible.
In its later life, it's had these mad episodes.
Yeah.
And it was nasty, really nasty. And he was just a little cat.
Mm. And when the cat goes weird, you know, when they go all wild?
I do.
Yeah. And they go for you.
Yeah.
They'll go for you.
They certainly do.
When they go for you, it's pretty scary and they're pretty dangerous and they're strong.
Still got the scars to prove it somewhere.
They're strong and pretty scary. So imagine a wild bobcat and it goes for you. And, yeah, you would have to think, well, right, come on then, I'm not going to die today.
Well, I think very impressive for Dee Dee.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the size of a dog, a bobcat. I mean, this would be, well, you know, quite a challenge.
Imagine if the cat would go for it and you'd think, I'm not going to die today. I still haven't seen the last season of Game of Thrones.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, have you ever had an encounter with a wild animal? Not the
domestic cat.
Not the cat, but a wild animal. Have you ever had an encounter with a wild animal?
We saw a moose.
Yeah.
In when we were in Nova Scotia, Canada.
What's a moose?
Huge elk, huge deer. And we were hoping to see moose. And we were walking by a little lake in the forest.
You were walking by a little lake.
Well, we were sitting down by it, actually. And it's funny because Jill said, what did you say?
I said, all we need now to make this perfect is for a moose to stick its head out of those trees over there.
That's not a sentence you hear every day.
It isn't.
All we need now to make this perfect is a moose.
I can testify that's what she said. And at that moment, believe it or not, a large moose head popped out of the trees. And this moose emerged. They're very tall, and it walked towards us along the edge of the lake, and it walked towards us closer and closer and closer. We were thinking, this is a very big animal. You know, what if it gets startled when it notices we're here? Mm-hmm. But when it did see we were there, it quickly catapulted itself back into the forests.
Well, it didn't catapult itself. It just gently walked back into the forest. But we came across it again later on when we were walking through the forest path.
And there it was in amongst the trees. Huge.
They are massive. Did you know that the moose is one of the most dangerous animals in the world?
You're joking.
No, I'm not joking. The moose is responsible for killing more people than many other animals.
That's only because people drive into them on motorways.
They say, you know, probably the mosquito is probably the most dangerous animal because of malaria.
Or the buffalo.
Buffalo, hippopotamus in Africa, famously very dangerous. But moose kills a lot of people.
How? By trampling?
Trampling over them.
Stepping in front of their car.
Because, well, maybe car-related accidents. Yeah, it could be that you crash into the moose and that's it. If you hit a moose when you're traveling fast, then, you know, that's it. But also, perhaps they protect their young.
Mm.
And if you come across a moose with little baby mooses.
Yeah.
What's the plural of moose? Mooses? Niece? Mooses.
Well, it's like the domestic cow in England. They just, you know, fairly recently, there's been a couple of cases of women being trampled to death by cows, mainly because they walked into a field full of cows which had the calves with them, and the women had their dogs with them, and the cows, you know, wanted to attack the women because of the dog.
Right.
Thought the dog would attack their...
Can you believe...
calves, and one woman was killed, wasn't she?
Yeah, quite recently. So when we say this big moose was a little bit intimidating, I mean, you understand now that
we weren't.
We were thinking, hello, this is getting a bit close.
Because for me, now I know, now I have this knowledge of mooses and how dangerous they are. I don't remember how I found out about that. But if I'd been in your situation, I would have been...
Well, I would have been scared.
I was going to use a ruder expression. Yes.
Jill said, I'm not going to die today. And we were okay. She was prepared to strangle it, but we didn't have to. I also had a skunk encounter when I was in the United States. I was in a summer camp.
Is this a cannabis story?
No, not that kind of... It is skunk.
An animal.
A black and white animal.
By the way, folks, just in case you don't know, skunk is a nickname for a certain type of cannabis. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I didn't know that. You saw the animal skunk.
Yes, it was...
Wait. What is a skunk?
It's a black and white animal with a big... tail, which is notorious for its smell. It has a sack of incredibly toxic material, which it sprays on its enemies.
Is it toxic? Anyway,
I think it can blind you.
It's noxious. Anyway,
it's horrible.
It stinks.
It's incredible. And of course, you can smell when there's a skunk around, particularly in the evenings, because you know you could just smell it. And I was. Sitting on a veranda of a bunkhouse where the kids I was looking after were sleeping, with my feet on the rail, reading a book, and I could smell there was a skunk around, and it popped up on the veranda and walked along towards me. And of course, if you scare it, it's going to spray you.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to get rid of skunk smell is, well, it's almost impossible for a long, long time, and if it gets you in the face, it could be really quite nasty. So I just froze and didn't move at all, and it walked right underneath me with its tail brushing my legs and hopped off the other end and out.
What a lucky escape.
Phew.
What a relief. Well, folks, that's the end. We've got through the stories there. Well, I don't know. Conclusion? Is there a conclusion?
Nope.
The conclusion is, I'm hungry and I want my lunch.
Yeah, we're gonna have our lunch now. Thank you for talking to me in the usual rambling fashion. Okay. It's been lots of fun.
Yeah.
Can I just say on behalf of my listeners that they enjoy listening to you talking very much.
Good.
No doubt there'll be comments saying, you know, that your mum and dad have got lovely accents and it's really nice to talk to them. So on behalf of my listeners, thank you for talking to us
on the
podcast.
Thank you, Luke.
It's a pleasure.
And what a pleasure it was, indeed, to have my parents on such good form, making everyone laugh on the podcast. That was a lot of fun. Remember, stories and vocab on the website. Don't forget, you must sign up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. There are now 17 episodes of 17 episodes as I record this, with more coming. And also some YouTube live events and other things like that coming up. The most recent episode of Premium that I did was called The Grammar of Gandalf. Now, what do you think of that? The Grammar of Gandalf. And it's basically a verb tense review with comparison between lots of different verb forms like present continuous and simple. I mean, present perfect continuous and simple. Different ways of expressing regret, passive structures, using past subjunctives, modal verbs. And all the pronunciation of that as well, all coming from some dialogue from the first Lord of the Rings film. You don't need to be a Lord of the Rings fan for the episode to work, but because it's, you know, it's just a little story context. But quite a thorough grammar review, also with transcripts and three test exercises testing you on all the language that comes up, along with pronunciation drills. So it's quite a little grammar package of three episodes of Luke's English Podcast Premium that went up just recently. Sign up for Premium to get those episodes and PDFs, as well as the other 14 episodes that are in the growing library of content for my subscribers. If you're already a Premium Lepster, then I would like to say thank you for supporting this podcast and ensuring that I can raise general quality levels as much as possible. So nice one. You can sign up for Teacher Luke, sign up at Teacher Luke. You can sign up for Premium at teacherluke.co.uk/premium. All the instructions are there. You can listen to the episodes in the app or online. One more thing before we finish the episode. Sometimes I sound a bit like Alan Partridge, I think. Sometimes I sound a bit like Alan Partridge.
Someone actually once told me that I sounded like Alan. It's when I was working at a language school in Japan, and all of the classrooms were like just divided by sort of glass windows, and we could kind of hear each other teaching. And this girl was from Australia, and they know about Alan in Australia. They get Alan Partridge on TV there. And so she'd hear me teaching, and she would be like, "You sound like Alan Partridge. How do you do it? How would an Australian say Alan Partridge?" Something like that. Anyway, she used to say I sounded like Alan Partridge, and we used to have fun sort of doing Alan impressions. Aha, Lynn! You know, that kind of thing. But I think we all have a bit of Alan inside us. I know that sounds weird, but I think it's sort of true. But I do feel like I wander into Partridge territory sometimes when I'm podcasting, giving lots of detail, over-explaining, rambling, and going a bit too far. Also, there's something about the tone of broadcasting in any format that makes you sound a bit Partridge. There's something about just the tone of broadcasting does make you sound a bit like Partridge. In fact, there's a well-known Twitter account called Accidental Partridge, twitter.com/accidentalp, and it's a hashtag too, hashtag accidental partridge, which people on Twitter use to share moments that they've seen in the media of people saying things that sound just like Alan. And in this episode, I don't know if you noticed, but I had an accidental partridge moment, and here it is. I'm going to play it back to you. This was when I was explaining the pancreas, and it came out a bit like I was on Alan Partridge's radio program trying to explain what the pancreas does, which is exactly the sort of situation that Alan Partridge would find himself in. Okay, so this is my Alan Partridge moment explaining the pancreas.
The pancreas is a glandular organ in the digestive system and endocrine system. What does it do? It's an endocrine gland producing several important hormones which circulate in the blood. It's also a digestive organ secreting pancreatic juice, which helps to neutralize acidity moving in from the stomach. So basically it just helps with digestion and stuff like that.
It helps with digestion and stuff like that. You're listening to Mid-Morning Matters. I'm Alan Partridge. There you go. That was my Alan Partridge moment. And I think we'll end the episode here. Thanks, as ever, for listening and being the most excellent of audiences. I'll speak to you soon, but for now, goodbye. Bye. 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 Bye.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.